Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. You want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Obviously talking a lot about the Phillies today, a lot about Zach Wheeler, his masterpiece yesterday at Citizens Bank Park. Nine innings, one run, one hit. The only hit, a home run by Austin Hayes, who Austin Hayes pretty lustily booed at Citizens Bank Park this weekend.
As he should have been.
I was proud of the fan base for that. I was proud of the Austin Hayes boo. I know that was kind of a divisive topic a little bit on social media about whether Austin Hayes deserved the boos or not.
It was?
I think he... Well, there were a few people I saw that weren't happy with the booing of Austin Hayes.
Oh, you mean the ones that say we need to do better?
Yeah,
we need... As a fan base?
Yeah. We don't need to do any better.
I mean,
there's
always one. I mean, there's always one in the group that you know, wants to try to shame everybody.
What do you think? You think he deserved the boost?
I mean, man, it's Philadelphia, man. Do you expect anything different?
He just had a like kidney infection, but
yeah,
should have performed better.
I mean, I get it. I get it why it's the conversation. But just like, you know, when Bryce Huff decides to leave Philadelphia with a Super Bowl ring.
What a loser. What a loser.
Loser,
man.
Strong.
Really that strong. Was, I mean, oh, I knew had, during training camp.
I mean, and he has something to say. Like, no, just take the ring and keep it moving.
Man, and I hadn't heard that until Kyle played it earlier. When he said, oh, I kind of knew at training camp it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean,
that's like saying, I knew it wasn't going to work out after I said I do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, come on, like, man. No. You signed the contract.
You just got married.
Well, shouldn't you have kind of examined this before you signed on?
Well, it's one of those things where, you got to ask how you're going to be used. But I guess, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I'm probably going to get yelled at for this. But in his defense, Kyle's a typical.
Here we go.
No.
I love Kyle throwing up the hands.
But Vic Fangio got here after he got here. So Vic probably, and I do believe that there probably was a conversation that Howie was like, yo, you know, we got to work Cat in. And Vic was like, hey, darn it, gosh darn it. Do you want me to get this defense right or not? Do you want me to do it my way or not? I just left Miami. All the stuff they gave me down there.
I love the Vic Fangio.
Let me do my thing. I love
Vic Fangio, who is from this area, apparently is from the South now. I love
it. Let me do my thing.
215-592-9494. This is sounding very Tobias-like.
No,
it's sounding
not.
Like it's a very Tobias-like situation.
This is the thing.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
My job here is to try to give you different perspectives.
That's right, perspective.
And different avenues in which we reached where we are, you know? It's not always the way that you think it is. It might be a different way. That's why a lot of times I have to cultivate these. Y'all might think these takes that I have are willy-nilly. It takes time to cultivate these takes that
you
I have on a day-to-day basis.
You Douglas.
You got to. Because I don't just sit here and just be talking out the side of my neck. Sometimes I do. But mostly.
I sit here
and I take time to think about the things that I say, because I know that there are a lot of people that tend to listen.
Whoa.
And they hang on my every word because they know I preach the gospel.
Well, they're cheering you, Douglas, in Philly.
You are a respected member of the Philadelphia sports community. You are. You're a beloved Eagle.
Oh, no,
you're an all-time great.
A hot take artist.
Yeah.
I'm not
and a
hot take artist.
And a defender of underachieving athletes.
No, it's
to be honest.
No, when Bryce is feeling some kind of way. And I try to channel my inner Bryce, but before I do that, I always say, damn, dog, why couldn't you just leave and just be cool? Like, you take the money and just go.
That's all.
Nobody can ever do that nowadays.
That's all.
Like, nobody, like, you didn't have to say anything because then nobody, everybody was still euphoric about the Super Bowl win. You can't, like, this is what you've done. You're gonna probably, I don't know if you're married or not, but you're going to go somewhere one day. And you're gonna be probably a little bit older. You're probably gonna be out of the league, and you're gonna think about all you've accomplished over the years. And hopefully for you, if it doesn't happen, you got one ring. But if you happen to not win another one, you got one. You're gonna want to put that ring on one day, right? Because you were part of the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl team, and this might be you might be my age. I am now. And the unfortunate thing about that is you're going to put that ring on one day and you're going to be walking around town as an older man with you probably have, you know, silver hair or whatever.
and you're going to talk about your Super Bowl accomplishments. And in the crowd, there's going to be a diehard Philadelphia Eagle fan. And they're going to call you a bum and say you didn't even contribute. Because when I tell you, I'll never forget this as long as I live, man. I was at an autograph signing, and the Wild Thing was there, Mitch Williams. And we were signing autographs, and, you know, it was going good. Some old lady walked up to Mitch and said, "You got a lot of nerve coming back to Philly." And I was just like, damn, he signed something for her, but the fact that she remembered that in that moment, I was like, damn, what should I be talking about the World Series? I was like, wow, that's Philadelphia in a nutshell. And somebody's going to do you like that. You're going to probably be in San Francisco, and you might want to wear it in San Francisco while you're playing. And there's going to be an Eagles fan that sees that and say, "Oh, you're Bryce Huff?" You can be like, "Yeah. Oh, you didn't do anything in the Super Bowl. You didn't do anything." Oh, you're like, they're going to remind you.
Right.
That's the unfortunate thing about it.
Well, I don't think it's unfortunate.
Well, it's unfortunate awesome. For him.
Yeah, for him, it's unfortunate. But how annoyed are you with Bryce Huff for his comments? 215-592-9494. Also talking a lot about the Phillies today. Are you more encouraged by the starting pitching or discouraged by the performance of the lineup over the weekend? Our Twitter question of the day, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. At this point, our new Twitter question, are you disappointed that Kyle Schwarber won't be participating in the home run derby? That is our Twitter question.
I still think
today.
I could beat Kyle in a race, too. Listen, this weekend.
Beat me?
I don't know, Kyle. You're a little lighter. But you're a little lighter. I feel pretty smart. I think I can get Kyle in a race, though.
You think you can get Kyle?
He thinks
Schwarber.
He can be Schwarber in a race.
Oh, Kyle. Oh, right. Schwarber. Yeah, I forgot. I thought you were talking about that Kyle.
No, I felt pretty good this weekend, man. You know, I was running around. So I was like, man,
I think I'd have to take Kyle.
I can get him.
215-592-9494. In a minute, we will predict another matchup coming up this week on Wednesday between a couple of our coworkers here at WIP. We'll get to that in a minute. First, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Sean in Newark. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing, Tom? How you doing, everybody?
What's going on, man?
I was going to chime in first on the Phillies' bats and the pitching, and I think that it's been a pretty well-established pattern that their bats go hot and cold. You know, so if you got somebody batting 600 for 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden the next 2 weeks they can't get a hit, well, they got a 300 batting average, and you'd say, wow, they're one of the better hitters in the league. But in the playoffs, that you'd be out of the playoffs, you know, and that's what the Phillies – and we've even seen it this year. There's been at least two different times already in the first half of the season where they've gone through stretches where they couldn't get a hit and they stunk so bad that everybody was ready to throw in the towel. Then all of a sudden they get hot again and then everybody's, oh, never mind, we're all back in. And that seems to be their pattern the last 2 years. So, you know, I don't have a confidence that they can go four straight series in the playoffs with the bats staying hot enough to be able to win each series.
Yeah,
I figure they'll be hot a series or two and then, you know.
And that's the thing, Sean. You're talking about they got to play well for a month. And like, it's weird because just how we know this team is capable of performing in short stretches, they're also susceptible to going cold in short stretches. And that's kind of what happened in 2022, honestly, where they were really hot.
That's exactly what happened.
They got to the middle of the World Series and, you know, they went ice cold.
And then the other thing is Topper has to start managing tougher. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, we just saw Zach Wheeler, what he just did, and everybody's going all crazy raving that. But everybody forgets that not just last year, but the year before, two consecutive years, Topper took out Wheeler, throwing a shutout in the playoffs, only to have the bullpen immediately come in and blow the game, and then they lost that very series. So you could make the argument that not once, but twice, Topper's thrown away a Philly season because he took their best pitcher out of the game thinking the bullpen could do a better job.
But this is where
what are you saving Wheeler for?
Well, Sean, this is where I'll defend him on that. I mean, I understand in the Houston series, shouldn't have taken him out in that spot. But in that Mets game, I mean, he was at something like 115 pitches.
He's throwing a shutout. What are you saving him for, Tom? We saving him for next year? We trying to win the World Series?
No, you're saving him for the rest of the playoffs. I mean, you have like 115 pitches. He still had two innings to get through in that game.
He's throwing a shutout. He's the best thing. I mean, if I'm on the other side, I'm thrilled the moment he comes out of that game.
I get
if
that.
If I'm the opposing team.
But you got to at least think about your pitcher.
All right, well, how did that work out for you then, Tom? Did you win the game or did you lose the game? How did it work out the year before? Did you win or lose?
It didn't work out well, but I still don't think it was the wrong decision.
The series both times, too.
Guess he told you.
Well, I still think it was the right thing to take him out there.
Can I throw in one other thing?
Sure.
Go for it.
Go ahead, Sean.
Get his ass.
Very combative phone call.
You're on a roll. Go for it.
Go, Sean.
All right, thank you. And hey, man, I usually always agree with Tom, and I agree with him basically on the Phillies bats thing.
I can't tell. You sound a little angry.
But also with the bubble, I'm a LeBron hater as much as anybody else, but all these people that don't want to give him credit for the bubble, that's just LeBron hate. The fact is they had the best record all year, and they played over two-thirds of the seasons. That's why they added those extra games at the end for the play-in to make sure that there was any teams that would have been close enough to get in the playoffs could. And it's worth noting that all four teams that made it to the conference finals that year were right back in the conference finals 2 years later. So it ain't like they were fluke teams that made it. All four teams were right back in competing, the same four teams again just 2 years later.
Yeah.
So it shows that those four teams really were good teams.
Well,
they had the best record all year, and they won the title. I give him the ring, but it still doesn't change the fact that he's played over 20 years, and even as we speak, he's still shopping for another team to try to figure out how to put a super team together to get a fifth ring.
Well, I hear you, Sean, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks. I would actually agree with that. I think the NBA ring is kind of legit. The LeBron ring's kind of legit.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Sean's normally my guy. That's the guy who made my open.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Well, Sean, you did a good job. I like that.
Sean just took me apart there.
Yeah,
though.
He did. He had a little bit of attitude.
Very angry.
He had a lot of attitude.
Jeez.
Someone say.
Yeah. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Get back to the phones in a second, but we do need to weigh in real quick on what's going on Wednesday, because Wednesday's the big day.
Wednesday.
Gentlemen, the pitching competition, baseball competition between Jack Fritz and Joe DiCamera going on at Plymouth White Marsh High School. It'll be at noon. We will be broadcasting right around the corner at McGurk's in Fort Washington. So go, you know, either watch the
get something to eat first and then go watch them.
Yeah, either come get something to eat first and watch baseball after, or vice versa. Go watch the baseball, come in for lunch after. But where are you guys on the Jack versus Joe thing here?
You know what? Honestly, I feel like, because Kyle just got back, I feel like Jack's in a good place. He's been working on his pitches. So I think he's in a good place with that. So, yeah, I'm kind of leaning a little bit more towards Jack this week.
You're backing Jack.
Yeah, because earlier I was like, oh, the camera's just going to let the bat sit on his shoulders because Jack hasn't been working. But Jack said he's been, you know, working on his location and, you know, everything. So if he can locate it, I think he got a chance.
So you're going with Jack. Where are you at, Kyle?
I'm staying where I was from the very beginning. I've been trying to tell everybody, and everyone's shocked that there was a meltdown by Fritz. But, like, this is where I was coming from this entire time. It was never about the camera being a supreme athlete. Or a superior athlete to Fritz.
Oh, here we go.
It's about Jack not being mentally built for this kind of thing.
Wow.
And golf was supposed to be the thing that Jack was like a lock to win. He folded at that, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think I came into this thinking DiCamera had a decent chance at the baseball thing just because of what you guys were talking about. He's going to lead the bat on his shoulder, make Jack at the strike zone, stuff like that. You know, DiCamera's going to try to weasel his way into a win. But, like, he's further into Jack's head than I think he was to start this thing, which I already think was burrowed pretty far in. I'm sticking with DiCamera, man. It might get ugly for Jack.
It could. And this is the thing. I have tried intentionally to kind of steer clear of taking a side on. I don't want to cause issues with anybody. You know, I just want to, you know, kind of get along. But I got to go on record here. I mean, I don't know what the odds are. I love DiCamera on Wednesday. I just do. Yeah. I just think this is like there is a lot of pressure on Jack going into this thing.
I want to believe that Jack is in this is like you guys like to say. I don't want to believe that about Jack.
I think Kyle's right. I think Joe is very much in his head. Just watch that video that from last week. It was troubling as far as Joe's commentary was flustering Jack. And this is the thing, man. There's going to be a big crowd there. There are going to be a lot of people, and I don't think it's enough just for Jack to win.
Jack needs to
look impressive.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
He's been talking about his baseball history, his baseball acumen for years here. If he doesn't go out and he's not throwing 83 and he's not pumping the fastball in the zone.
We're expecting 83?
Yeah, well, that's what he says. He says he was throwing a cool 83 is how he put it over the weekend when he was on the seltzer. So we need to get a radar gun out there. This is not just about the win for Jack. He needs to look good.
We need style points.
This is a style points game for Jack. He needs to go out and he needs to look great. If he doesn't, it's a failure.
I agree.
See, that's just, come on, man. Y'all
look
great.
You know what,
Hugh?
You gotta stop trying to see the good in everybody.
Yeah. look for the bad in people. Stop. Look through the negative side.
I like how you said it with a straight face.
With an angry face at that.
No, I will say this. It was not flattering having Jack's coach call in and try to mine nice things to say about him. Oh, that was a little weird.
Oh no.
Yeah, oh, you didn't hear?
No.
You didn't, TK, like, he was really...
Yeah, I heard.
What they call it, word salad?
Yeah, he was struggling.
Was it like when Jalen Reagor's TCU coach called in?
Oh, it was not that bad. Not that bad. Patterson?
But, you know, it was like, it was like Jack, he said something to the effect, I'm ad-libbing here, but Jack knew he wasn't going to play, so he started doing play-by-play in the dugout.
So he was like Bryce.
So he was working on his second career.
Yeah.
He knew it wasn't going to go well from the jump.
I'm telling you.
So it was like, you know, and then Jack, there was a story where Jack walked away from baseball or whatever when he was on scholarship or whatever.
Walked away.
Yeah, I'm being nice.
Yeah, so this is your Hugh Douglas level spin to something that's just damning.
What are you talking about? Now that was egregious. Like it, but people have reasons for doing whatever it is that they do.
What did I just say? For this to be a success for Jack, people need to be walking out of Plymouth White Marsh High School on Wednesday.
Sandy crushed him.
Well, thinking, wow, yeah, I could see that guy being a minor league pitcher. That's
the
way he needs to look.
Like Rudy?
No.
He needs to look great. And, I mean, just think, if Jack throws six straight balls to start this thing, this is going to get ugly. Now, can Spike make a mound visit? I think we might need a mound visit from Spike and Ike.
Really that's a bad look.
Do you
though.
Want a Spike a mound look. Visit, though? Seriously?
Well, Spike,
I don't know.
Spike is like Jack's coach through
no,
this.
Listen, let me tell you.
Spike is Jack's biggest fan.
See, you weren't here, Kyle. Spike makes it sound like he's been very supportive, and Ike said he was. So I believe it to a certain extent.
But I think I would rather get a pep talk from Ike than Spike.
That's what I was thinking, but Spike said, Ike said that Spike was very supportive,
but
I found surprising.
I think Jack would respond better to Spike's level of coaching because Spike is very much the supportive, nurturing voice. Ike is the tough love
guy.
Ike's doing the whole
get your head out of your ass thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That don't seem like that dog would hunt with the Jack.
Yeah.
Jack don't seem like he would respond well to get your head out of your ass.
Well, I mean, he needs to respond well to the meltdown in round one. Like, he needs a bounce back. And I agree with TK. It's a style point spot for
Jack. It is. He needs to
look
good.
See, y'all putting pressure.
He
needs your official position is the camera now?
Yeah, without question.
I'm a ride with Jack. I believe in it. I'm a believer.
And, I mean, a lot of pressure, especially considering everybody is just taking the camera because they have questioned Jack's mental capacity for
this. And that's the thing, though.
That's a lot, man.
I think Jack playing possum. Because this is Jack's wheelhouse. Jack's been working on his pitches. I think Jack, but then again, no, Jack's gonna shine.
Jack should just be pumping fastballs. He shouldn't throw curveballs.
No,
he should
locate. Because do we really think? Between
I agree.
The two
I
of
think
them,
it's about location more than
like. Do we really think that Joe DeCamera?
Did you lay down a bunt?
Has been practicing. Like I think Jack has been practicing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jack has been practicing on his location. I don't think Joe DeCamera's really taking this one that serious. I think he's more into the head game space than anything.
I think, but Joe takes the head game extremely seriously. Like, he's playing three-dimensional chess at all moments. Like, he went to Plymouth White Marsh just so he could take a picture of the field and tweet it out. I do too.
See,
it's unbelievable.
Jack just needs to stay centered. If he stays centered, he'll be fine.
Well, the other thing about, like, you
by
know,
the way,
Jack's,
LA said he might be in attendance. Maybe LA could go out and talk
that,
Jack through
no,
it.
That might help. Now, I know Jack has sort of admitted that he's well past his prime, we did hear him say that he tried to bow out of it in the first place because his arm was cooked. Is he putting himself on the appropriate regimen when we're talking about practicing?
Wait a minute. Did he say his arm is cooked?
He might need an innings limit.
Wait a minute. He said his arm was cooked.
That was sort of the whole idea. Remember when he tried to back out at first? He was like, I want to make sure that my arm is good so that he can play catch with his kids. And he was a little bit worried about it.
Worst case scenario is Jack tears like a rotator cuff or something.
This is some new information.
What? We played the audio for you on the show.
I didn't pay attention. That part I missed. Oh no! When
I'm
he was
glad,
oh no
man.
No
I'm
you know glad. What no I know what you're talking about when he was talking about how he was trying to save he was out there pitching with Walker and
yes.
He blew his arm out
and he was
oh I thought you meant he's been practicing since then.
No, that's right because you were talking about didn't you had a take on that right?
Yeah, why are you throwing heat to your son?
Yeah,
blew his arm out throwing at a 2 year old.
No, I remember.
My God.
No, he was talking about how he said after that though he had been practicing. I know what you're talking about now.
Okay.
yeah, because I did right. have a question. Why are you throwing heat to what, a 2 year old?
Yeah, two or three. I don't know how old Walker is now, but not old. So
we need to worry that he's not out of gas by the time the competition even happens. If he's practicing,
I hope there's a way where we can get a live stream because we'll be on during this. I hope we can, kind of see what's going on.
We got Buzz.
Well,
heartthrob Buzz.
What Buzz? Buzz
the heartthrob.
Buzz, another just. It's so annoying throughout this whole process. Just angling for every job. He wants to be the commentator. He wants to be the
ump. Buzz is a
he wants to be
man.
The scorekeeper. That Buzz ladies.
Buzz is a lady man.
I played that on my show that one.
No,
that was absurd.
I went like
maybe
know
the most
funny.
Ridiculous thing you've ever said.
No, it's not. It's you know what's funny though.
Hey Buzz. That
when
was
I
the
when
best.
I did that, like we went to the game last week. It was me. It was me. Who was with it? It was Tuck. It was me, Tuck, and Mike Angelini, right? So when Buzz
three ladies
sees me,
men right there.
No, when Buzz
that's
sees me, right.
What a crew. Buzz,
Kyle,
Tucker, and Mike.
This was the best. Buzz rounds the corner. He sees me sit there. He wanted to go away because he's like, oh, this guy, right?
You're cramping his style, dude. You're an old man.
He was like, oh, this guy. Because I think I kind of got him in trouble because Buzz has a lady.
Yeah.
And I guess she heard me talking about him in his heartthrobness.
I don't think she's all that
concerned. And he turned the corner. He kind of looked and rolled his eyes like, why did he have to be here?
The best part of that was when you did like the young girl impression. You're like, they're all saying, hey, Buzz.
She did say, hey, Buzz. She's like, hey, Buzz. It was almost like, Buzz, why you ain't never called me back?
I don't know if I believe
I don't know,
this.
Buzz, like when he was walking through, though, he walked through like he was the man, though. He did do that. Until he seen me, and then he said, this. Individual.
This guy. 215-592-9494. This segment got way off the rails. Somehow we got the Buzz being a ladies' man. This started off with Joe versus Jack. I don't know how we ended up here. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. See you guys on hold. We'll get to the phones in the next segment. We'll finish up on the phone lines with the Phils. A check in with you people, which I'm excited about. I always love the rivalry between Hugh and you people. So we will get to that coming up as well in the final segment of the show. And something that happened over the weekend with Bryson Stott and the fans that was interesting from Friday. All that coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
2-2. Swung on, blasted. Deep right field. That'll do it. Bryson Stott bangs one off the auxiliary scoreboard in right field, and the Phillies have the lead in the eighth. He hammered that pitch, his sixth homer of the year, and the Phillies have a 3-1 lead.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show, and there it was, Bryson Stott, Scott Fransky on the call as Bryson Stott goes deep. Yesterday, Phillies needed that home run badly. They end up beating the Reds 3-1. But an interesting incident on Friday at the end of the game. Bryson Stott popped out to end the game, Hugh. And after the game, they're doing their wrap-up on TV, and they show the Phillies dugout, and it looked like Nick Castellanos was having some words with the fans, and apparently he was defending Bryson Stott for, I guess, fans heckling him.
Gotta love the fans,
after a poor at-bat there.
Gotta love the fans here in Philadelphia.
And here was Rob Thompson talking about what happened.
Yesterday, some of the players maybe were jawing with a fan or something like that. Did you see that in the moment or see the video afterwards?
I didn't see it in the moment. I heard about it afterwards, but from what I hear, somebody said something to Stott or about Stott, and his teammates were protecting him.
Now, what are your thoughts on that, Hugh? I don't know what was said to Bryson or about Bryson Stott, and who knows.
We can recklessly speculate.
Yeah, what were you?
Wasn't nothing nice. probably garbage.
Would you like to
probably
repeat it?
It probably was some blue. They probably worked a little blue, you know.
That being said,
just like a you suck.
Yeah.
No, I probably definitely wasn't a you suck.
If it's just a you suck,
yeah,
then I don't think that would warrant a response from the dugout. But probably not a good idea to kind of get into it with the fans. Would you agree?
Probably not. But listen, I look at it like this. You got to be able to, I can't even spit it out. You have to be able to take it as well as you give it. Like you do. I feel that way because a lot of times, like I've become friends with people when it usually goes that way. You can't be a snowflake, can't be sensitive. If you're one of those fans that is out there, and you're talking trash and somebody says something back to you, you can't clutch your pearls and talk about being appalled at that point because that's just not how the world works, especially nowadays. So if you're one of those cats that like to dish it out, you best be able to take it as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And again, like, this is probably, judging by the dugout's reaction, it seems like it's something that probably crossed the line, you know, beyond your typical. Because, you know, these guys hear
especially
stuff all
if
the
you,
time.
Listen, especially if you do that. Like, I feel like this. If you're one of those fans that says, like, you know, you suck or you stink, that's fair. That's fair play. When you start talking about other stuff and feeling emboldened, then that's when you might get a two-piece with no biscuit. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's a thin line. I'm all for being heckled and saying certain things to people, but when you feel emboldened and like, you know, hands won't be put on you, then I'm not recommending you put hands on somebody. But if it happens, then don't look like, you know, and be surprised.
Well, do you like the response from the dugout? Do you like the players kind of sticking up for him in that spot?
Well, I do because it's his teammate. You know, especially when you talk about the last couple of weeks that we've had where, you know, guys have been feel like they've been speaking out of turn a little bit, talking about Topper and things of that nature. It shows me that there's still kind of a close-knit group, you know, especially when you have Casty talking or defending his teammate like that. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay. So that was just something to monitor. But Bryson Stott, who knows? Maybe it motivated him. Maybe that helped get him going on Sunday.
Maybe that is the case.
As he hit the game-winning home run. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing? Hey, you.
Hey, what's how going on, man? How you doing?
Teammate always sticks up for a teammate, right?
Definitely.
You?
Always.
That's just how it goes.
Definitely.
So, and Tommy, the other thing you had me thinking all afternoon, you're talking about LeBron and the bubble. Only thing I remember in the bubble is our genius coach, Doc Rivers, decided that our all-star point guard wasn't even a point guard and handed the keys over to Shake Milton.
Well, Tom, I'm pretty sure the coach in the bubble was Brett Brown, right? Am I wrong about that?
No. I think it was Doc.
I think that was Brett's last year. I'm pretty sure it was, yeah.
Well, but they moved – didn't – okay, so it was Brett moved him to power forward.
Yeah, that's a long – Dom, honestly, that whole era feels like ages ago to me. It's hard for me to remember.
6 years ago, ain't it?
Exactly, 5 years ago. Yeah, it's hard for me to remember. But, yeah, the bubble Sixers were not fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. They took the ball out of Ben's hands, which was his best attribute.
Yeah, Shake Milton did have a good run in the bubble, though, Dom.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I think it was Doc. I'm sorry, but I just.
Don't worry about it.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. It's
don't worry about
long
it.
Time
it's,
ago.
It's, yeah, not, it's too long ago. Okay.
Yeah. What do you got all on right. the What do you got on the Phils, Dom?
So I said to Kyle, to me, you got to go get the bullpen piece. Because I said if Jeff Hoffman was still here, the Phillies would have a 6-game lead and have the best record in baseball right now.
Yeah, I mean, one move. They'd certainly be better. And the Romano over Hoffman decision was a really bad one, Dom. And another one that's frustrating, you see what Sir Anthony Dominguez is doing this season? I mean, he's pitching great for Baltimore. I think he'd gone, as of the other day, I don't think he'd allowed a run in the month of June. And that's a guy the Phillies, you know, gave away for Austin Hayes last year.
Yeah, I got to believe that Bryce is going to get – I mean, he looked overmatched this weekend. I mean, the Ranger game was – he struck out four times for Ranger.
Yeah, he was really struggling.
He struck out four times in that game.
Yeah, it was a rough weekend for Harper, no question about it.
And the last thing I'll say is I think it's highway robbery that Trey Turner's not an All-Star. I mean, what do you got to do?
Yeah, I mean, and appreciate the call, Dom. Thanks, man. I mean, yeah, I mean, he leads the NL in hits. I think Trey should have made it as well.
That was a huge oversight. Yeah,
huge oversight. But, yeah, I mean, I just realized that last week about what Sir Anthony Dominguez is doing this year. A guy that the Phillies gave away, and you have a bullpen that is low on depth. Kind of frustrating. You see him pitching so well down in Baltimore.
Well, I will say this, and this is not an excuse, but this is a fact. Everybody does not do well here. Everybody does not, you know, they just don't mesh well here. And that's the fact. When you see certain things that happen to certain players, it's just that Philly's a unique place. And if you're not built to be here, Bryce Huff is a good example of that. Bryce Huff, when he signed in the city, this might not be what I need.
Right. And Sir Anthony's a guy he had success previously, and he hadn't had for 2 years, he was not very good here, and last year he had not pitched well at all. But I don't know if you give up on a guy that talented.
Yeah. You know? I mean, again, it might have not been a situation where he felt like it was conducive being here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just everybody can't play here. Everybody just – it's just impossible for some people.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go to Joe in Frankfurt. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up,
one of the reasons I love baseball so much is because you could fail 7 out of 10 times and still be considered great. That being said, this team's been so inconsistent lately. I mean, they're like the little girl with the curls. Either they're really, really, really good or they're really, really bad as far as the hitting's concerned. They need a bullpen arm and a right or left-handed bat. I don't care what, but a bat, a professional hitter. And one more thing, and I'll let you guys talk. I just wanted to get this out. I really had to call because a few callers ago, I heard a crazy statement. A guy wanted to trade Ranger Suarez for Painter. And he's been inconsistent. You want, like you said, you want him to force his way in. This way, don't have to send him back down.
But the way I look at it, Joe, is if your other option is Taiwan, then who cares? Just throw him out there. See what happens.
Who, Painter? Why? What if you ruin him? What if he comes up and he lets up 5 runs, 6 runs his first couple starts, and then what? His confidence is shot, and then you're sending him back down.
He's not going to be – if he's ruined by that, he's not as good as you think he is anyway. He's not going to fall apart.
I don't think he's as good as we think he is. He's had a few shady starts down there already. I mean, it's not like he's been lighting it up. That's what I'm saying. Like, other guys have been lit it up to come up here. Yeah.
Well, I think that's kind of the problem is they don't have anybody lighting it up right now, which is why they have to go back to Taiwan. But
Right, exactly. But what I'm making is, you know, somebody called saying they want to train Ranger. Rangers are one of the best pitchers in baseball right now.
Yeah, no, trainer.
That is the pitching of the Phillies right now is their strong suit. Why would you get rid of a starting pitcher in your lineup? It makes no sense to me.
No, Joe, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that, man, and appreciate the call. Yeah, you're not trading Ranger. And the trading of Ranger conversation, I think, needs to stop. It's just crazy.
That we trading? Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that. But yeah, I mean, I think with Painter, if he were to come up, whatever, if he gets shelled, he goes back down, it'll be fine. That happened to Sanchez a couple years ago. Sanchez came up a few times. It didn't go well for him. He went back down. He worked it out, came back up, and he was fine.
You know, it's funny though. I thought that McCabe would probably get another start before the All-Star break, but that they said we,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I'm feeling about McCabe. Those last couple starts weren't great.
Yeah, it was tough.
He has trouble throwing strikes.
Yeah, it was tough,
which is not good.
I still think he's a fine trade piece. Like, I don't think he's, because I know people have reacted pretty heavily the other way after he started stinking and acting like he's just untradeable now because nobody will want him. Like, somebody would still take that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we overreact to what we see at the major league level, but like these organizations, you'd think they're smart enough to not overreact to a couple starts here. Like, if they liked Mick Abel before he came up, you think they'll probably still like him and think they can work with him. So I would agree on that. I don't think that his trade value is like totally gone because of what happened the last few weeks here. Let's go to Joe in Roxborough. What's up, Joe?
Is that me?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just all you, brother.
Oh, how you doing?
All right.
I got a few things about the Phillies. Good to talk to you guys. But anyway, we got a problem. We got a lot of problems with the Phillies. First of all, you got a general manager that signed Nola for 7 years for $25 million a year. It was like we did with Howard years ago, signed him when he was on his way down. And then we got Kepler, who can't hit his way out of paper bag, right? That's the first thing. That's why his name's Dombrowski. Second thing is the manager, Thompson. The only difference between Manuel and Thompson is Thompson, you can understand him when he talks. Either one of them had nothing to do with where the Phillies are at right now or where the Phillies were then. Manuel was a babysitter.
Oh, that's stop it, Joe. There. You don't give Charlie Manuel any credit for what the Phillies did?
No, because he was a babysitter. Just like this Thompson, this guy cannot pick pitching. He screws up pitching the pitching rotation every time. If Thompson was the manager last year, we would have won 10 more games.
Thompson was the manager last year. He was the manager last year, Joe. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. When he was the manager last year, we lost 10 games because of him.
Who would you rather have as the manager?
Well, that's for them to decide. I'm not going to say. I don't know.
That's a cop-out, Joe. That's what that is.
I'll tell you what. Me. I'll be the manager.
Oh, come on.
I'm a better manager than they are.
What's this, Paul Jones?
Then you got Sosa. Sosa was hitting 600 when he benched him. And he benched him for 2 weeks, and he brought him back, and he played for a while, and he benched. Sosa should be playing every damn day. He's one of the best ball players on that team.
Oh, Sosa. Okay. I thought you were talking about Mike Sosa, I thought he was talking about the former Angels manager, Mike Sosa. But, yeah.
No. I'm talking about shortstop, second base, third base, whatever you want to call him. Sosa is one of the best ball players on that team.
Yeah, he's very good, Joe, and I appreciate the call. The Rob Thompson criticism is just outrageous to me. Like,
well,
Rob
a lot of people don't like
good job.
A lot of people don't like the way he manages. They think that sometimes he needs to rule with an iron fist, and you know, you try to tell people as nicely as possible that a lot of times that formula doesn't work anymore. You know, it's not what players respond to like back in the day. It's not the same. But, you know, some people they don't want to hear that.
Do you think it works? Do you think it would help the team to have more of a kind of iron-fisted approach?
I don't – like, your team has to be built like that. I don't think this team is. I like to call it, suburban energy? They have a lot of suburban energy.
Suburban energy.
Yeah, they got a lot of suburban energy. They don't feel like they're the type of cats that you can really talk too rough to, and they will respond to that. Like somebody said, they rode around in a lot of minivans when they went to their baseball practices and stuff. They did the minivan.
The suburban energy entail, like, do you imagine people in the suburbs are just standing on their lawns ripping heaters and drinking Natty Light?
Ripping heaters and drinking natties.
Yeah.
Depends on the suburb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Nah, that's the suburbs that Schwarber came from. No cats. Not Schwarber, Bryce. Right, no, they're not. Right, yeah. Bryce, no. Bryce,
I like that. Suburban energy.
Suburban energy.
All right, it's the time of the day where we need to check in with you people.
You people.
It's time to hear from you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What are you worried about over there?
No, I'm not. I'm never worried. I just find it hilarious.
I see Hugh's getting riled up. He's getting ready.
Nah. Just as a quick aside, you know, since some of these are not YouTube comments, sometimes I find a Twitter comment that either annoys me or I feel the need to throw in here and mention. But this happens pretty often if we put a poll up and you'll get a stray comment that's like, the real poll is this, or like, the real poll. Why don't you post your own poll then and have the, your six followers vote on it. See where they come down.
That sounds
it's the Kyle I know.
Loser.
He's back.
He's back. It didn't take long, did it?
Hugh throwing shade at Wheeler is despicable. That's strong. Despicable is strong.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody that is a fun at parties that doesn't get the joke at all.
Here we go.
Yeah. Notice not too many people were fans of Perspective Kyle today. So, I'll put him on the shelf for tomorrow.
Perspective Kyle has got to go away and not come back for a while.
We'll see what happens the rest of the week. I took the pledge, so I react accordingly. Kyle's looking rough after his time off. This is as good as it gets, so you might need to adjust your scale.
I'm secretly still reeling from how Hugh greeted me today.
Yeah, dude, you look banged. You like you got banged up,
just
dog.
Just say, hey, dog, do you have a rough one? Yeah. Like, what?
You look like you got banged up.
Well, the good thing is, somebody said,
oh, no.
TK seems like a respectable, level-headed man.
Okay.
That's good.
Setup. That was the,
really?
I was surprised.
I kind of don't like that.
Not the popular sentiment, though, in the chat today.
Okay.
TK looks like he manages a failing restaurant chain.
I don't know why, but that was fun.
It kind of works. I could see that.
What kind of food?
Yeah, I don't know. I got the name, but you never know. You want to be careful. Yeah. One of sponsors.
Whoever did that one, that was real creative.
I think Hugh agrees.
Yeah.
It's just like you pulled that one out the air.
Man.
It's tough, man.
It's tough.
TK
it
rocking
tough.
The Shirley Temple haircut.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
I could see it. Why are we listening to a guy that can't even ride a roller coaster?
Are you talking about me?
Oh, come on.
He was talking about TK.
I thought I caught a stray.
I am not that tall, but I am definitely tall enough to ride a roller coaster.
Well, speaking of that, he was big ass, probably should be buying multiple tickets for things like movie theaters and airplanes.
That's
so
a good
you
one.
Can take
That's
up two one. Seats. Yep. If you had to rank the least... who's the person you would least want to go to a movie theater with? Because you and Spike are movie buddies. There's a person at WIP that you would least want to go to see a movie with.
Who, me? You're asking?
Yes, you.
I would probably say Mosh. That was the first name that popped in my head.
Oh, man.
You're always coming for
no,
Mosh.
No, Mosh is like Mosh. No, I
was
going
to say DeCamber. Like DeCamber feels like the answer to all of
no,
those
but
questions.
Mosh feels like he would talk. Mosh feels like he would talk during the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mosh feels like he's going to ask questions. Like, we're watching the movie at the same time, but Mosh feels like he likes to ask questions when he's at the movie. Like, damn, Mosh, we watching at the same time.
Mosh likes to talk.
Yeah. All right. Last thing here, and this is one of those that can only play with pretty much the full context of it. But this happened at the end of last segment. And see if you or Hugh picks up on something that TK dropped in here.
I did not realize that at the time. Yeah.
Y'all call me childish.
Yeah, sorry,
it's still applicable, I guess. I don't know.
It's still worse than things you've said.
No,
accidentally.
You got to understand. There's times during the course of the day where the inside jokes that I tell myself, like I was doing the Hatfield read and I was talking about the Carnitas and everything, and I just start giggling.
Yeah, that's about where we're going to have to leave that.
Boneless carnitas. Boneless carnitas. Shout out to Hatfield.
That's it for you, people.
Yeah, that's
good
it. Boneless carnitas. Don't give me some of the boneless carnitas.
There you go. Well done, you people. Except
every
for,
day.
I did not like that failing restaurant owner comment.
That was
disturbing. That was disturbing. That was disturbing.
He got cooked.
Yeah, he could. He roasted me. I don't know if I can recover from that one.
From that, yeah,
we'll
that was
see what
funny.
You people have for us tomorrow. I'm sure it'll be more complimentary.
Has anybody seen? But sidebar. Before we go, has anybody seen Bear Brooks? Like, I was watching Bear this morning. Bear,
are you looking
listening.
For him or oh?
No.
I didn't know what context
cause,
was cause, for that.
Because Bear shaved right. And I can't unsee. He looks like Mike Brown, the new coach of the Knicks. I can't unsee it. Like, when you look, okay. Like, Barrett messed around. I guess he lost the bet, and he shaved all his facial hair off.
I guess if he doesn't have the facial hair, I can
and
see
he looked
it.
Like Mike Brown. He looked like, and I was like, damn, Barrett looked like Mike Brown.
Are you only
today.
So saying that because they're both bald and
well,
have no facial hair?
Well, no,
because
they have no facial hair, and he had his glasses on. Shout out to my man, B. Brooks. But he looked like Mike Brown. When I saw him today, I was like, damn, B looked like Mike Brown.
Okay. Let's get one more call in here. Let's go to Ethan. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, how are we doing?
Good.
What's going on, man?
A little story. Went to a playoff game a couple of years ago, and Trey had a dribbler down the line. Excuse me. And he didn't hustle it all the way out. Turned out not to be a fair ball. Got and right in front of me behind the dugout, starts yelling at him about, you know, earning the money, earning the $300 million contract. And Castellanos turns around, and I'm sitting right behind this guy. And so, he wasn't exactly sure who said it. I was kind of gesturing. It was this guy in front of me sitting next to his wife. And Castellanos pretty much just told him to shut up and, be a good fan. And the usher backed up Castellanos, the usher came and told him, be a good fan or else you're going to be leaving the game here. And then the guy's wife had to console him. It was, pretty funny. But, definitely not the first instance. And I'd imagine there's a few more of Nick doing something like that to the fans, getting into it.
Yeah.
But, to me, that was unreasonable, what the fan was doing. In the moment, what Nick did, it was, it's just a teammate sticking up for another teammate.
I hear you, Ethan. I'm sorry, man. We got to run. But, I think that's probably what it is. I mean, it actually made me feel better about it that it was about Stott, not about Castellanos.
Yeah.
Like that, if it was Castellanos just getting back at a fan for saying something about him, that would have bothered me more.
Yeah, and it lets you know, to a certain extent, that there's still a tight-knit group in that locker room.
Yeah.
Even though that, a couple weeks ago, like I said, there was a little bit of a tay-to-tay. Let you know that they're still in it. They're still in it to win it.
Yeah. Well, that'll be it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you to Kyle Quinn for producing the show. Hopefully no perspective Kyle tomorrow. But a big Taiwan Walker start tomorrow night. We'll talk a lot about that. Stay tuned. Afternoon show coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.